Bring you some wonderful truths from the revelation. This is the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was revealed as a babe in the manger, here he's revealed in his eternal glorious state. We see him pictured in the first chapter of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And I would like to first of all mention again the great blessing that is in store for us if we will do what it says in verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein for the times at hand. Here's a blessing for just reading the book of Revelation, or it can, I'm sure, have application as well for the whole of the Bible. But then again, I believe the definite promise and blessing is here, whether you understand or not. It doesn't say you have to understand it to get a blessing. And this is the darkest and most difficult book. Some of the Puritans didn't even write about the book of the Revelation, lest they were afraid that they'd speculate. And they had enough about the blood of the Lord Jesus, the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, the Gospels, all the epistles, that often in their writings they just avoided completely, lest they would pen down something that would be not true when they went up to heaven and met the Lord and found out if their writings were right. And so yet, here's the blessing. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and hears, and what? Keeps, or does, those things which are written therein. But I want to go down to verse number 9, and we'll start our reading there. And I want to give you a picture again of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, and then we will, the Lord willing, go into the seven churches that in Asia Minor, which this was written to. This revelation of Jesus Christ by John the Divine, John the Apostle, the one who was the brother to James, who was a fisherman, and also wrote the Gospel of John, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John wrote the Revelation. He even tells where he was. And he wrote this expressly, not to us, although we were in the mind of God, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished, truly furnished unto all good works. And so all Scripture, but expressly it's written precisely or definitely to seven actual churches were existing in that day in Asia Minor, and we'll look at them shortly. But follow with me, please, as we read from verse 9 to the end of the first chapter. Stand with me, please, in honor to the Word of God. If you are physically able, stand. In honor to the Word of God, the Bible. Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about his paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we pray thy blessing on thy word. Help us to understand it, to get something good from it, our Father. May we see Jesus in all of his wonder and his glory. May, dear Lord, as we come to the house of God, may we want to see not, dear Lord, only our sin and ourself, but may we want to come to see Jesus and see him spiritually and be washed from our sins in his precious blood. And, dear Lord, delight to have him come and be close to us and meet our need, whatever it might be. And we'll thank thee in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. You may be seated. So we have the Holy Scriptures. We have here, first of all, the fact of the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his resurrected state, we have the picture of the Lord Jesus. And here it tells us all about how he is dressed. His hair is white as wool, as white as snow, it says in the 14th verse. His eyes are as a flame of fire. And then he goes on, and he's in the Isle of Patmos to receive this word of truth from God Almighty to give to us, to give the word of God to these 7 churches in Asia Minor and to us as well. God's surely looking down the annals of history and seeing us and our need as well. And we need to see Jesus. We need to see that he is the answer to our needs. He is the all-sufficient Savior, the all-sufficient one. And then we go on in chapter 2, and it gives us the first one, the church at Ephesus. And he goes on to the 7 churches in Asia Minor. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And then he goes on to the other churches. It's very interesting that in these churches, the first thing it seems like that he says in every one of them, he says, I know thy works. Well, the Lord knows your works this morning. The Lord knows my works this morning. And by the way, we're not saved by works. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So he knows your works this morning, Christian brother, Christian sister. And by the way, if you're not saved, he knows your works too. And they came to Christ and said, What must we do to work the works of God? He said, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. This is the work of God, that you believe on Christ. That's the greatest thing you could ever do, is to be born again. Repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. By the way, if you'll check there in the in the first chapter of the Revelation, you'll see that the one who is in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, who has the seven stars in his right hand, the hand of power, Christ is in the middle of the seven churches. And by the way, he wants to be in the midst of you, sinner friend. If you're not saved, he wants to come and abide and live in you, in his resurrected power, which is able to take your sins away and give you a clean heart and wash you, as it says in the fifth verse, I believe, who hath washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so this resurrected Christ in the middle of the seven churches, he wants to be in the midst of your heart. He was in the middle of the three crosses, by the way. He was not on the right or the left. He was in the center cross. He wants to be in the center of his churches. He wants to be in the center of this church. He wants to be in the center of your life. But you must repent. Five out of the seven churches, the word is, after he says, in all seven churches, he says, I know thy works. Then he says to at least five of them, repent. The word to you, Christian, here this morning is, because he's writing to churches, groups, bodies of believers, his message to you and I is repent or perish physically. Not spiritually. If you're a believer, if you're saved, you're in Christ. You're going to heaven. But as we taught in the Sunday school lesson, the man there, the man of God, what happened to him? He disobeyed the word of the Lord. And he listened to the old prophet. And he died. A lion killed him. And what a miracle it was. As the old prophet goes out there, here's the lion that killed the man of God. Here's the ass that was not torn by the lion. And then there's the man of God laying there dead. Why? Because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. If you're not saved this morning, why would you think that God would not take you and have you bound hand and foot and hurled into hell fire when he dealt this harshly with his own man of God? He slew him with a lion. He killed him with a lion because he disobeyed. He listened to the old lying prophet. Why would you think that he would not allow you to burn in hell, young man, forever because of your sin, young lady? No, there's a place called hell, and it's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's outer darkness. It's the blackness of darkness forever. I might preach tonight, I don't know, but I was thinking, and I've been thinking for weeks about that matter, of the blind man. All he said was, he said, what do you want? He said, oh, that I might see. Oh, that I might see! But I was in Austin just the other day, there at a large mall there, the Lake Mall, and I was witnessing to a number of different people there, and I saw this fellow over at the table not far from me, and I knew he was handicapped, because his mother and his sister, it was his sister, it wasn't his mother, his sister, I found out later, and his younger sister. And they came, or no, it was his sister's daughter. But anyhow, they came and they helped him out and everything. But he sat there at the table just a long time, and they came to him and they went again, did their shopping or whatever. And I was thinking about him. I was reading my Bible, resting and witnessing to everybody. And I thought, I'm going to go over and witness to this fellow. I'm going to talk to him about the Lord. He looks kind of lonely. And I went over there, and he told me that his mother got saved at the Hilltop Baptist Church right down the road from there, not far. But he said that he was totally blind. I said, well, I didn't know you were blind. I knew you were handicapped, but I didn't know you were blind. And he said, yes, I am. And then he told me about his mother getting saved there at that church. But he said, if I was ever going to trust something, I would trust the Christian religion. But in reality, he acted like, in a nice way, he acted like I don't want Christ. And so I talked to him. I talked to him a good while. He got kind of nervous too. Sinners do get nervous when you talk to them. Even blind ones. And I told them in a nice way. I was not mean. I was not nasty. I was kind, but I told him, I said, you know, it's very sad. I said, I was over here sitting there, and I looked at you, and I loved you because of your condition. I loved you. And I said, Jesus loves you very, very, very much. Oh, he got more nervous. But you know what I told him? I said, you're going to go, if you don't get saved, you're going to go from darkness in this life, and you're going to go into outer darkness, the blackness of darkness forever, the mist of darkness, and you'll never see the light. I said, you better get saved. You better trust Jesus. And he held to his rebellion. He held to his unbelief. But pray that Chris would get saved, because that's what's going to happen to him. See, just because he's handicapped doesn't mean he's saved. And he had a pretty fair mind. And I had to leave. My wife came back. I had to leave, and I wasn't able to talk to him like I wanted to. But I was going to go back and tell him about my wife's relative, who we believe played at the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And he's blind, but he plays for the Lord. He's a believer, and I think it's one of my wife's cousins. We're trying to find out who he is up there in Raleigh, North Carolina. But wouldn't it be terrible to be blind? He's about 30-some years old, and blind in this life, and then go to a place of darkness forever. So if you don't get saved, friend, that's where you're headed for. You're headed for hellfire. But Jesus loved you and died for you, and he doesn't want you to go where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He came and shed his blood. I'll tell you what. We've got to get to the place ourselves where we want to say, I want to come out of the darkness, though. I want the light of the world, who's Jesus. I want to see spiritually. I want to be born again. I want to know this Christ who died for me at Calvary. And so we have the picture of the Lord Jesus. He's in the middle of the seven churches, and here's what he says. He said, the first thing, I know thy works. Yes, the Lord knows those terrible thoughts you thought last year. You never did those deeds, but you will in the future if you're not careful and you don't change your thinking processes. One fellow said that the deeds that are so dastardly and so wicked, they are perpetrated by a long process of evil thinking. And then it comes to be a work. And they do the terrible things. Oh, I'll tell you, the Lord knows your works. See, you don't get to heaven because you come to church once or twice or three times a year. Or if you come to church every Sunday, that will not save you. I know people in my hometown, Buffalo, New York, go to church every day. Every day they go to church and they're not saved. You have to know the one you're going to talk and worship. The one you're going to talk to in prayer. I talked to some others who were from Mexico, twin brothers. Talked to them. And then when he was going to get to pray, and it was kind of difficult, the Spanish and the English barrier. And then he said he wanted to pray a certain, planned prayer. And I said, no, you need to pray from your heart and receive Christ as your Savior. Not a set prayer. That's not the answer. It's repentance and faith in Christ. That's the answer. And so here he says, and then he says something else. He says, in verse 4 of chapter 2, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. The Lord has something against what? Church people in the church at Ephesus? And God has something against the Lord Jesus? It's him, really, that's saying this. Jesus says, I have somewhat against you, believers. Does he have something against you? What does it say down here? Thou hast left thy first love. I was thinking about that. What is your first love? Well, the first thing you do after you get saved is you try to tell someone else about Jesus. How much soul winning? You know, we're going into the new year soon. How many souls have we touched in the last month or two or three? Boy, that trip to Austin, man, I ran out all my tracks. I got my wife's tracks. Then I went into the glove compartment. We had some tracks there, and I used all those up. I'm telling you, I didn't have a thing left. I gave all my Spanish tracts out. I gave every brother Dorman. He said, "You better take some of these Spanish tracts." Gave those out too. Gave them all out, and then witnessed to people when I ran out of tracts. I'll tell you what. How many tracts have you given out in the last 3 months? Last 6 months? They're still in the tract rack. It used to be a great thing to do. What's happened to us? Have we left our first love? Hello. Good morning. You remember how exciting it was when you first, they told you you should, the preacher, whatever church you were at, remember that? They had that same track. They showed us one of the original ones from the Hamlin's house. And she brought it right to me, and it was one of the originals. Same track as this. And you were all excited about bringing that to me, weren't you? Oh, if we get as excited about telling people about Jesus as we used to be. Remember the first time, the first track you gave out? Can anybody even remember that? Huh? But I'm telling you, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Huh? Because you didn't know what to say to anybody? And now I just say, this is from the Holy Bible! Oh, and boy, most everybody takes it. And then I say, God bless you, and they need a blessing, sure enough. Lost or saved, we all need His blessings. But oh, I'll tell you, when I realize I have two friends who are saved, one sent me a little Christmas card, the other one didn't, and the one sent me a Christmas card, though, he got saved. Let me see, was that? No, he got saved through the New Birth track, teacher at the university. Earned PhD degree, but he needed Christ. Earned doctor's degree. You call him Dr. Roach because he earned his PhD. Not an honorary degree, but he still needed Christ. He still needed to get born again as a Roman Catholic up there in Syracuse, I think, is where he got saved. And he sent a little card, his wife did, and praise God he got saved through that New Birth track. But have you been giving any tracts out recently? Have we been witnessing like we used to? I believe we're supposed to keep the Bible says keep yourselves in the love of God. The Bible says in one time that David encouraged himself. You know, you don't get much encouragement from other people sometimes. You just have to encourage yourself. Right? You got to have a self-starter, you know? Go out and win someone to Christ. I want to get into, I thought about this earlier this morning and yesterday. How are your personal devotions going, Christian brother or sister? I am somewhat against thee, Jesus says. Thou hast left thy first love. Remember, when I got saved, I couldn't read the Bible enough. I was so excited about the being saved, and I just read my Bible all the time, all the way to high school, Hutch Tech High School down on Chippewa Street. And everything. And then I went out. The church there had a visitation program on Thursdays, like the Independents used to have a visitation program all the time. And I'd go out there. They had a spaghetti dinner. I don't care if they have a dinner or what they have. I enjoyed that too because I was single. Got down there and had a little spaghetti dinner, and then they gave us a little challenge, and out we went soul winning. Pastor Hammond's been giving us some good little challenges in our soul winning lately. They've been a blessing. We should have been doing that for years. Amen. Blessings. But what about it? We had a pretty good group go out yesterday morning. Good group, I thought. And then Tuesday. Then we try to do even Sunday night some. You know, you're not obligated to go at all, but you ought to want to go. Amen. And we ought to just get the word out. I remember being there in the hospital with Pastor Swartz, Donald Swartz. He's pastoring now in Florida, but he was in Buffalo, New York. And I went out with him to the hospital one time. He must have had a hospital visit. He left me down there in the vestibule or something and was up there in the hospital. And he came back and I was witnessing to somebody. I tell you, I was fired up. As soon as I got saved, I was talking to everybody. I didn't know what call to preach meant, but I was doing it. Amen. I was witnessing to people. And I tell you what, I'll be 60 next year and I'm still going to keep witnessing. You put me in a wheelchair and you wheel me down somewhere, I can still talk. Amen? When I talk for my Lord, I'll tell you there's great blessings for you personally in obeying the Lord by just giving out the gospel. But what about your personal devotional time? Is it still, aren't you like me? You have to just say, Lord, I want you to really be in this. Now I need to experience, and I need to feel good about this time of Bible study, Bible reading. How did you do last year? Or should we say the last few months, 6 months or 3 months? Or the last year, how did you do in your personal time? I'm talking to everybody now. Amen. Not just the kids. Amen. Would you want everyone else's? I was glad to hear that you were reading there in 2 Chronicles, or for whatever chronicle it was. Brother Chris, he said that he was reading this morning about my lesson on not the man of God. I had, you know, one bad move, and that was the bad move, and one good move, and that was the Queen of Sheba. And he said he was reading over there. And I was glad you were reading in that book of God, that Bible. After he told me that, I said, praise God. You better do that every day, son. That's the battle, isn't it? Huh? You did all right today, but it's the rest of the time you have all that trouble, right? Amen. Because why? You're made out of the same rotten dirt I am. But praise God, my soul's going to heaven. Amen. But you better read that book. The Bible says, when one person wrote, God's word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word. Mm-hmm. Is your time with the Lord, is it just secondary? Is your schoolwork more important than your time with God in the Bible? Is it just secondary, or is it primary with you? Is it first note? I've got to spend some quiet time with the Lord, reading His Word, getting something from the Lord. Does that mean anything to you that one preacher said one time, the last book I put down at night is the Bible, the first one I pick up in the morning? Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. How is your walk with the Lord, Christian brother, Christian sister? Are you a good example to your children? Would you want your children to be as little in the Bible? I'm talking about the Bible. You got to be very careful you don't spend too much time in books about the Bible and not spend the right amount of time in the Bible. Nothing can take the place of the Word of God. If we're not careful, all we'll be doing is reading these. I picked up one little magazine on health and how, you know, you're supposed to be eating blueberries for your brain. You know what I did after that last night? I got me a bowl of blueberries out. I want my brain keen. I don't want to have a senility. I'm out of a job if I go senile. Amen? So I'm going to get me some more blueberries. I told my wife. But I can't spend all my time there. I got to spend time in the book of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We must meditate in thy word day and night to be the prosperous man, to be the right kind of housewife, the right kind of wife, the right kind of mother, the right kind of father, the right kind of provider for your family, the right kind of father for your children, husband for your wife. How are you doing in your... You say, I'm having trouble with my spouse, my wife or husband. I want to know how much time you're spending with the God who made your spouse. God can easily change your spouse, your husband or wife. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. You say, she or he will never change. Why don't you just pray, God, I'll just thank you for him or her as he or she is. And yet, Lord, I do ask that you do some work in them. But then while you're doing that, Lord, I'm quite a mess myself. I have trouble with myself. Please help me to be more spiritually minded, more pleasant, more understanding, so that I know how to talk properly to my children and to my wife or to my children and my husband. Or if your children are grown up, help me to talk nicely to others. I still have that cup. I didn't drink any coffee this morning. I said I'm not going to eat or drink anything until after the service today. Other days I do it differently. But I missed my cup. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That'd be a good prayer for all of us to pray. The meditation of my heart. Some of us are so busy taking care of the dog. You can have all my dogs too. I love dogs, but I just can't take time with them. Cats, you can have them too. Goats. I told my son-in-law, I said, you better get a couple goats and mow that lawn out there. That lawnmower's breaking down too much. You know, I don't know how they smell or anything, but anyhow, put them out there as long as they won't get through the fence and everything else. But if you're not careful, you can spend all your time mowing grass and all your problems fixing your house. You've got a house not made with hands. Eternal! Amen? Our body is the temple. We've got the house of God. We better take care of our soul. Do you read? How much Bible reading are you doing lately? Oh, you say you get... Preacher, you got next to all of us this morning. Good, that's what I'm here for. We better take inventory, not just of our church. We better take personal inventory, but we ought to do church inventory too. He's speaking. Christ is speaking. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The place of prayer. Your pastor is so deficient in his prayer life, in praying for other people. I still don't have a prayer list, so pray that I'll maybe start a prayer list. A lot of great men of God that I know have had a prayer list. The early apostles didn't have pencils and pens and writing paper. So I don't know if they had a prayer list or not. But I know one thing, they spent time in prayer. How well did you do the last few months or 6 months or the last year? How well did you do, young man? Did you do as well as Chris Beard did? Now, he may not be doing as well now as he did when he was here, but did he spend some time in praying? Huh? He just said, well, see you later, fellas. I'm going to pray. And you come into the building here and he's praying. You say, well, is he real stable? I know one thing. He put us all under conviction for not praying enough. So come back, Brother Chris, and stay fired up when you come back, and it'll do us good again. Amen? You say, well, he's out on the street corner. Boy, he's going to get into a lot of trouble and everything. Yeah, but you're not on the street corner. So he'll encourage you in witnessing and speaking out for Christ too. Other people come by who are his age, and they don't encourage you in anything about their personal walk with the Lord. Isn't that right? You say, Preacher Harvey, isn't he a little eccentric? Aren't we a little lazy? Don't we need to take inventory? You say, well, I don't like the way he does it. No, but he's doing it. Amen? And the key to power is prayer. Say, well, everybody gets mad at him. He at least gets the message across. Amen? You say, well, he could use a little more compassion. We'll pray for Chris to have a little more compassion. Amen? But while you're doing that, pray that you'll get some of his zeal. Go up to Newfoundland. Oh, I tried to tell him those people are mean up there. He had his heart set on it. He went anyhow. Boy, the people were mean. The weather was mean and the people were mean. I said, I told you so, Chris. I mean, at least go to Mexico. Go to somewhere where they at least can smile at you once in a while. It's so cold up there. They're freezing every time they walk out the door. How do you expect them to smile? Oh. But he went, didn't he? He spent his money. He spent his time. Some of those people heard that Jesus saves up there. Amen? And that Jesus loved him. Jesus died for him. whether he was received or not, at least he went, didn't he? Had more zeal than I had. I don't think we ought to spend our time criticizing others that pray more than we do, or that win souls or witness more than we do. I think we all need a good inventory and find out how little we love Jesus, how critical we are of everybody. I think we'll be praying for the newborn baby, amen, little Silas having all these seizures, amen. We ought to be praying for people like Brother Hugh Wall, who was so sick last week. I think we ought to be praying for different ones. Be more loving and concerned. And the Lord has something against this. If you're not saved, your problem is you need to get born again. You need a new heart. You need to let Jesus come in and save you. And you're saved by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those people that in Buffalo, New York, which are very cold and hard, they need the same Christ. And I know some wonderful believers up there. There's believers in Newfoundland. They got to a church or two up there. Chris, amen. There's people who love God. You'll find them everywhere. It just sometimes it seems like there's fewer in certain places. But then again, there's fewer people up there. Period. Aren't you glad that you got saved? Aren't you glad that you heard that Jesus loves you, that he didn't come to condemn you, he came to save you? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I'd like to do better in 2003. Isn't this something? We're in a new millennium. I'd like to do better in 2003. If the Lord allows me to live through the year. This time next year, I would hope that I won a few more souls to the Lord. I'm still thinking about Brother Jenkins. He's had two or three heart attacks, and Brother Jenkins sat right there during our mission conference. Listen, you got to be motivated by things that are worthwhile talking about. Hello? We've got to major on the major and minor on the minors, or we're going to get all messed up! Are you with me this morning? He sat right there. He didn't bring it up. We had to eke it out of him. And he said, well, a couple of years ago, we were talking about soul winning. And he was not bragging in the least. He said, I think it was in the last 4 years, he started out with 50 souls a year. Then he went up to 100 souls a year. And then he tried to get one soul every... That was for the last 6 years, I guess it was. And what it was, then he tried to get... lead a soul to Christ every day. That's 365 souls a year. And he said, I made it 2 out of 4 years. Brother Jenkins, he used to be, you ought to see, a master plumber, a master electrician, air conditioning man, and now a mission director. He left all that. He was a missionary down there, reaching the black people that he hated when he was younger. He was part of the Ku Klux Klan. Y'all didn't know that, did you? And then he said, I'm going down there to, what's that place? No, it wasn't Haiti. Dominique. I'm going down to Dominique. And his mother almost disowned him because he was going down there to reach black people. But oh, does he know how to work with them. But he said, 2 years out of 4 years, he led one soul to Christ every day. In other words, he got 365. Maybe he led more to Christ one other day. Are you with me than another? That's quite a few souls that you leave. You got to do some soul winning. You got to be after some souls. Amen? We saw him over there at McDonald's. You know, we had people years ago, and they were so critical of McDonald's because they're, you know, involved with certain things. And I said, well, you know, when we get our building over here, maybe we won't go to McDonald's anymore. We'll just have our fellowship over here. You get what I mean? But right now, we just can't. Didn't work out too well for us. And so here he's over there, and I noticed one thing with Brother Jenkins. He was talking to those soldier boys about Christ. Probably was doing that out there when he went with you too, Joe. Was he witnessing? Amen. Joe said he was. That's a lot of souls to come to Christ. 2 years. I just like two big ones like that, wouldn't you? One soul a day, 365 souls. He had to work at it. And he's an old man, and as soon as he left here, he found out he had cancer on top of it. So what do you think he ought to do? Well, sit down and die. No, I think he ought to put more fire on the furnace, throw some more coal in the furnace, and burn up on his way out to heaven. Amen? Try to help people like that blind fellow. You know, it seems like everybody in the whole world, if they don't have Christ, what? They're in darkness. They're like that blind fellow who was sitting there like this and just sitting there. I said, I thought you were lonely. I said, you do get lonely sometimes, don't you? And he said, yes. I said, oh, Jesus will be your friend forever. You won't get lonely when you have Jesus, or near as lonely when you have Jesus. Well, I know thy works, and I have somewhat against thee. What's the answer? Repent and do the first works. And what? Let your first love come alive again. Aren't you glad that Peter, who cursed and swore at the cross of Jesus there, within 50 days, Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 got saved. She glad that the Lord forgives. I like Peter's zeal, though. He was the only one that jumped out of the boat and walked on the water. You say, yeah, he got these eyes off of Jesus and started going down. Yes, but he walked on the water and none of the other 12 walked on the water but Peter. Peter had so much power with God in the life of Jesus that he just wanted to get under the shadow of Peter and they believed they'd be healed. Peter was something, wasn't he? And yet they said he was unlearned and ignorant. But then he'd been with Jesus. The wisdom of this world won't get anybody saved. It won't get anybody to have peace with God. Oh, but the wisdom from heaven will do it. And Christ is our wisdom. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we love Thee. Thank Thee for Thy wonderful Word. We thank Thee for this beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the center of His churches. And dear Lord, He wants to be in the center of our life. He wants to be the center of attention in our walk. He wants to be the center of our attention. Our lovely Lord Jesus, Lord, You want us to be. You want to be in the center of our activities, our thoughts, our actions, our ways. Dear Lord, as we may get a little older, I pray that we would not forget how much, Lord, You love us and You want us to be happy in Thy service. And so, Lord, for those that are not yet settled in salvation, may they trust Thee, Lord Jesus. May they be saved. And then, Lord, we that are saved, may we desire our personal walk and our family devotions to be that which is right, pleasing in Thy sight. Our prayers for our spouse, help me to pray for my wife more. Dear Lord, forgive me of not praying for her as I ought. I've done better lately, but Lord, I still need to do better. Please teach me to pray for my children, married and those, and then Bethany who's not. Dear Lord, help us to pray for our church people, one another. Oh, how we've lifted a lot of prayers in the last couple of weeks, the last month for our people here at the church. Help them, Lord, to know that we love them. Dear Lord, we're not here to browbeat them. We're there to lead and try to help. Lord, may we see that perfection is in Thee and Thee alone, Lord Jesus. Please help us. We'll give Thee praise in Christ's name.